From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the first day of December 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Logan Kimmel. He's with Roach Ag. His father, Kurt Kimmel, is out of the office for the afternoon. Then we'll turn our attention to the Illinois Corn Growers Association and the future of ethanol, E15, and something called RON. We'll do that with the president of the association, Mark Bunzelmeyer. And as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast too. We'll do that with Mark Russo of Everstream Analytics and take a look at production agriculture loans with ag economist from Compeer Financial, Megan Roberts, on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world online. On demand at willag.org, willag.org, where you can still sign up for the Friday, December 12th Farm Assets Conference. It's a week from this coming Friday in Bloomington, and the Illinois Farm Economic Summits the following week in DeKalb, Peoria, and Mount Vernon. Do it right now, willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, December corn in Chicago finished at $4.32¾, down 2¾ cents. The March at $4.45, 2¾ lower, and the May contract at $4.53¼. It finished 2½ cents lower for the afternoon. Soybeans January contract 9¾ lower. The settlement price at $11.28 for the day. The next contract is the March, down 8 at $11.38, and November of next year at $11.25. 3½ cents higher, rather lower. Bean meal off 330, the bean oil 30 cents higher, and wheat futures for the soft red in the December at 350¼, down 3/4. The hard red 3/4 cents lower as well on this Monday afternoon. Logan Kimmel with Roach Ag Marketing now joins us. Hey, thank you much, Logan, for taking some time to fill in for me today. I appreciate that. Give me your overview of this Monday session after the long holiday weekend.
Yeah, came in today and things remained fairly quiet after the holidays. We saw both the corn and beans spend pretty much all day in the red, slightly, I think, a little bit of carryover from the light holiday week. No big news lines hit today, or at least in the market. So I think you saw a little optimism fade as the day went on, and lack of Chinese bean purchases, at least on the daily flash sales. On the flip side, we've maybe seen a little technical pattern play out here in the corn, ran up to its 200-day moving average and pulled back. That after being last week bouncing off of the August and October trend line. So if anything, the corn market trading in a nickel range here today might be consolidating with some technical patterns, and the bigger mover being the soybean from January down about a dime here today. Again, most likely market waiting to see larger China bean sales here by the end of the year.
Is there expectations that those will actually take place from the market? I suppose there is. And what happens if they don't?
Yeah, that's the big question. We've seen here today no Chinese official purchases in the export sales reports. There is some thoughts that that might show up here next week. But that's the big question in the soybean market is, is China going to reach the 12 million metric tons by year's end? Obviously, with the calendar turning over to December here, you'd like to see that start picking up, especially in the daily flash sales. The other thought, you know, we've got to consider here, South America is getting planted fairly well. They're kind of in a holding pattern, no weather problem. So in the next 3 to 4 weeks, what does China do on the export front? Do they use breaks in our bean market if we see a drawdown in bean prices, maybe 20 to 30 cents, to start to build up and get closer to that 12 million metric tons? So I think as we watch the news wires and the markets here for the rest of the year, that most likely is going to be the biggest what's on our radar? Well, what is China doing? Are they stepping in and accumulating U.S. soybeans on weakness in our futures market?
I see that there is news that there may be another Russian oil tanker that is sinking in the Black Sea. How does that kind of information impact the marketplace, whether it be crude oil or other things?
Yeah, looking to the outside markets, that can be a big factor. I think if you see some risk on being put into commodities, you'd see that build up in the energy markets, or possibly even here in some of our wheat markets. Something to keep an eye on, but generally speaking, I think if you see headlines like that build up, you see money flow come into commodities led by some of the outside markets like the energies, I think that could provide some support for the grain and oilseed markets.
What else have you been watching before I let you go?
I think something to keep an eye on, too, is what have the currencies done here. I look back to the first of the year, and really we've seen an uptick in the Brazilian real. I think that could help be supportive for our exports versus Brazil. So keeping an eye on the outside markets as well as the U.S. dollar versus Brazil, Brazilian real since the first of the year.
That's Logan Kimmel. He is with Roach Ag Marketing. Hey, thank you, Logan.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. A week from this Friday, I hope you will join me at the Farm Assets Conference to be held at the Agri Center in Bloomington, Illinois. It's also the home of the Illinois Corn Growers Association. It should be a great day-long event. It's super simple to get to. And really, we're going to try to get down to the fundamentals of the marketplace at this point in time, a transition for agriculture in the United States, particularly for ethanol, as we've completed the ethanol cycle and build out that started with its foundation in the mid-2000s. I want you to be there. It's just $80. Make sure you sign up. Do it right now today at willag.org. The Farm Assets Conference is Friday, December the 12th in Bloomington at the Agri Center. Now, speaking of the corn growers, I caught up during last week's Illinois Corn Growers Association annual meeting with the farmer president of that organization. His name is Mark Bunzelmeyer.
The RFS 2005-2007 really put forward that 20-year plan that said we have a goal of using at least 10% of a renewable fuel in every gallon of gasoline that is consumed in the United States. And part of it was that it was a transition to get to more advanced fuels. Some of that transition still in place, sustainable aviation fuel, sort of one of those things as well. But we never really were able to come up with some of the other sustainable fuels going forward, or the advanced fuels going forward. Now, we've made the bridge, haven't built the advanced fuels, and it appears we need more time. And that is an opportunity, given the transition that is happening to electric vehicles, for ethanol over the next 10 to 30 years, three decades, it appears, to try to carve out another larger niche as it's related to liquid fuels. I was confused by the terminology RON. Still don't know what that stands for. Maybe you do, maybe you don't.
When you go to your gas station and you see an octane number there, that is the octane of that fuel. And so you have your typically 10% ethanol, which is the unleaded 87, and then unleaded 88 is 15% ethanol. That is also considered with using RON, 90 RON, which is a research octane number, and it's kind of a general principle there. And looking forward in the future of going up to a RON or research octane number of 95, 98 in the future, long term, where we're getting up to those ethanol blends of 20% and 30% in a, you know, a generic in that realm factor. But to do this, back in the past, there's been the Next Generation Fuels Act that was originally sponsored and under a different name, actually, by Representative Shimkus, and then brought back to the table by Representative Bustos. And since then, Representative Budzinski has worked towards that. Also, having some kind of future legislation, or some legislation to look towards the future. The automakers can't just go and switch over a few things to have a different engine that runs on a higher octane. That's a five-year process of developing those engines and being able to allow them to work on that higher octane using more corn ethanol.
When you look forward over that time, as liquid fuels wane, where total gallons used wanes, does this maintain how many bushels of corn need to be ground for that sector, or does it increase it as you think about what those numbers look like?
The electric vehicle market, don't ever really know where that is in the future. Different people prefer electric vehicles, and I have no problem with that at all. But then also, some people prefer to have a internal combustion engine. And we are, thankfully, you know, as a consumer of fuel, we're getting more fuel efficient with those vehicles. Every time you get newer models, they're becoming more fuel efficient, which is great for the consumer. And as over time, I assume we look at that also getting more efficient. So there is going to be working against that, but there's of less fuel later on. But there's also more room in that fuel tank, hopefully, for corn ethanol, which will hopefully make up for that over that time when we talk about just car engines.
The hope then is that there is a set of legislation that will follow up on what was originally the RFS 0507 that will bring forward a larger portion of each gallon going forward so that corn growers can maintain a level of demand that can support agriculture across the United States.
Yes, but besides just ethanol in your car pickup truck tank, we also are looking as we've always talked about, or not always, for quite a few years, we've talked about sustainable aviation fuel, which is still, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road, getting that available. The other thing that the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council has been working towards that might be something sooner is sustainable maritime fuel, where if they use ethanol as in the maritime fuel is a drop-in fuel and doesn't have to go through a different process of conversion of the ethanol like it does with sustainable aviation fuel.
Mark Bunzelmeyer is a farmer and the president of the Illinois Corn Growers Association. I spoke with him during last week's annual meeting of ICGA. Up next, a conversation I held in Kansas City at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention with agricultural economist Megan Roberts from Compeer. I started by asking just exactly where she was located.
I am in the Mankato area.
Excellent, in Minnesota, but Compeer covers the upper half of Illinois, part of Minnesota, Wisconsin as well. What do you do as an ag economist for a farm credit affiliated company?
I am looking at the factors that are affecting farmers and our clients' bottom line. So what are the trends going on in the corn, soybean, hog, dairy industry? What's going on in the broader macro economy and how might that affect interest rates moving forward and just the overall economic conditions here in the U.S.?
Can I talk to you a little bit about the importance of crop budgets in a given marketing year and what that means for you and Compeer as it's related to production loans and those sorts of things and how farmers should think about them?
I am a huge advocate of understanding your cost of production in any year, and it's really important to make a crop budget, stick to it, and then at the end of the year analyze how did you do over the course of the marketing season. And so just period, I think they're really important. I think they're extra important in a year like we've had in 2025 and a year like we're likely to have in 2026 where we're in a cost price squeeze and margins are really tight. That is where those plans and those budgets get really important.
How important is it
for those budgets to be updated as things change. For instance, additional fungicide applications because of rust this year, or yields changing through the year so that the final production number might be, say, different, or whatever cost might change. Yep.
A budget is only as good as how accurate it is. So at this time of year, as you're looking forward to 2026, you're going to be making a forward projection on those budgets. And there's a little bit of educated guessing that's going to go on. But then when you're doing a analysis at the end of the year, you really need to update and add in all of those expenses in order to get to a true cost of production.
What does Compeer look at in the end? When somebody comes in for a production loan, what are they asking for? Do they ask for this set of numbers, for instance?
Well, from Compeer's perspective, it's going to be, in some regards, unique to the client and what specifically they're requesting. So not every loan is the same, but certainly a full set of financials is something that is most generally going to be expected. And so if you're coming in at this time of year, now is the time to be getting all of your information up to date for 2025. You're coming in for 2026. Yeah, having a detailed projection, detailed cash flow, and perhaps even multiple options showing different input choices, for example. The more that you are communicating with that, with your lender, and having that information, in my opinion, the better. But I'm an economist, not a financial officer.
Finally, because Compeer covers all of Minnesota, Wisconsin, and the upper half of Illinois, are there regional differences from one place to the other? And what are the largest regional differences? My guess, it might be only in Minnesota, from the northern part of Minnesota to the southern part of Minnesota, there may be a big regional difference in the farm financials, maybe someplace else.
There are regional differences. In Minnesota, you're right on. We go all the way from the Canadian border down to the Iowa border, and it is very different agricultural production in those regions. But this year, I think there was regional differences across our territory. I had talked to farmers who've had some of their best years in terms of production, maybe not on the price side, but then also some that had too much rain, too little rain. And so certainly those regional differences are existing even within states, and then even within states depending on what the primary production is. So a row crop producer conversation compared to a beef producer conversation right now is incredibly different. Our livestock producers are experiencing some really good margins in 2025. They're buoyed by those low grain prices, reducing their feed prices, and that is the primary expense on a livestock operation. And then on the back end, we have some pretty strong prices yet on that livestock side. So a lot of regional variation, and not just because of northern to southern. We have those differences across really all 144 counties that we serve.
Much difference between the beef cattle, dairy cattle, and the poultry producers that you deal with?
Yeah, there can be. So if you're in dairy production and you're doing a lot of beef on dairy right now, those might be some stronger financials. If you're in a herd expansion moment, you might not be able to be selling as many calves or selling those cull cows. So that's a little bit of a different story. We've seen regional price differences from creamery to creamery. And there's also, you know, for example, on the hog side, if a herd has faced health issues, that's a different financial situation. They haven't maybe been able to get as much production out the door to take advantage of these higher prices.
Thank you much, Megan.
Thank you so much.
I spoke with Megan Roberts. She is an ag economist with Compeer Financial based out of Mankato, Minnesota, during the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in mid-November. Mark Russo of Everstream Analytics now joins us to recap what took place over the weekend. We made the transition, Mark, to wintertime for sure. Can you tell me about this storm that went through, please?
Sure, Todd. Yeah, certainly an abrupt switch to winter here over the past several days. And with this holiday weekend's snow event, a very, unusually early winter storm of this magnitude that pretty much produced snow amounts or accumulations anywhere from 6 to as much as 12 inches across much of central and northern Illinois, similar areas in Indiana and Iowa as well. Even around the St. Louis metro area saw significant snow amounts. And what was most unique was, again, just this uniform nature of totals of around, 9, 10 inches, even as far north as Wisconsin or even northern Wisconsin. So, and again, very one of the biggest early season snows on record, especially here in around Illinois.
The Peoria Farm Show kicks off tomorrow and runs through Thursday of this week. I think we're supposed to get a little more snow, but it sounds like things won't be terrible in the way of travel over those 3 days. What does this next week look like across the Midwest?
Yeah, continued unseasonably cold and still some additional snow systems coming through, although, like you mentioned, they don't look as big of an event as this past weekend. One of these events is coming through here pretty much today and then even followed up on Wednesday, but these kind of clippers moving through look more on the order of 1 to 3 inches versus anything higher than that.
You turn your attention to South America. Quick look at what's been taking place there.
Yeah, across South America, they continue to be in good shape from Brazil down into Argentina. There's been some areas of center west and northeast Brazil that have been drier lately and could use some more rainfall, could use some rainfall to boost soil moisture here to allow more planting. And that has already started to take place. In fact, those areas that were trending a little bit drier, they're now improving over the next few weeks. And even southern Brazil, which this week is on the dry side, they get good rains next week. And then additional systems coming through Argentina. Bottom line is that we're not seeing any imminent issues developing for crops as we move through this early to middle portion of December.
Okay, thank you much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics. Again, the Peoria Farm Show starts tomorrow in Peoria, Illinois. And what's unusual for me, I'll actually be making a presentation at 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning at that show. Don't forget, too, that you can come to the Farm Assets Conference in December, the Illinois Farm Economic Summits as well. You need to sign up for those. It is the month of December, and they'll start on the 12th in Bloomington with the Farm Assets Conference in the following week for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. I hope to see you at one of them. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.